Okay, Parshas Naso, Haba Alin Latova. One of the main themes of Parshas Naso is Birchas Kohanim. So everybody here are not Kohanim, as far as I know, unless you have any surprises for us. So I want to learn the halachos related to non-Kohanim Birchas Kohanim. What is it that a non-Kohen needs to know about Birchas Kohanim? What do we need to be aware of? I think Simon Kuf Chav Ches is one of the longest simanim in Shulchan Aruch about the laws of Kohanim, and here I think I only brought for you maybe five. Only five of them are relevant to us as Israelim, but it's important to review because, you know, it comes along certainly in Chutz Laretz for Ashkenazim only, you know, five opportunities a year. I mean, there's multiple days of the Yontif, but over the Shal Shagal, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and, you know, we kind of get thrown into it, and we maybe are not aware because we're totally not conscious of it. Maybe there's something we should be doing, things we shouldn't be doing, all different aspects as well. And because yeah, there's more sheets over there. And because of that, we need to be on top of it. You know, they like to point out that many, many Gedolim who would visit from Eretz Yisrael would come to America. They would try to go daven by Sfardim during the week, even though they're Ashkenazi, because they couldn't be without missing. They didn't want to miss the Birchas Kohanim because it was so important. You know, if a person has time, it's not such a bad thing. You know, we have beautiful Sephardic shuls in our community. You know, one morning you have extra time, you don't have to run to work, you go to a Sephardi shul, catch Birchas Kohanim. You definitely won't lose, and you'll only gain to have the brachos of the Kohanim. Not such a bad idea. So what do we need to know? So let's turn Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Chav Ches, Sif Yud Ches. This opening halacha here is something that many people are not aware of, and sometimes I even hear it in the shul as well, that everybody involved and the parties involved are not aware of this particular halacha. Ein hamakri shekori kohanim rishay lekros kohanim ad sheyichla mipi hatzibur amein. The person who's going to call, the chazan who's going to call to the tzibur, to the kohanim, to say yivarachacha, he is not allowed to begin saying yivarachacha until the tzibur finishes answering amein to that last previous bracha. Shonim achar birchas modim. They can't begin their bracha that precedes Birchas Kohanim at Sheyichla Hadibur Kriyas Kohanim b'Piyakori until he's finished calling to them and he says Kohanim. And after the Kohanim say their introductory blessing to the Birchas Kohanim, Einim Rishoyim Lahaskel Yivrechacha at Sheyichla b'Piyakol Atzibur Amen. Until the tzibur finishes the answer, amen to that. And they cannot begin saying each one of those words until the chazan has finished totally enunciating the word that he's saying. And we cannot say amen to the tripart bracha until the kohanim have finished saying their words. The point being, everyone involved needs to be patient. No one should be cutting off the other person. The makri shouldn't start before the kohanim. The kohanim shouldn't start before the makri. We shouldn't answer amen before they're done. There should be a visible, I don't want to say a space or a pause, but nobody should be talking until you hear silence. And that stage is over. The Mishnah Berurah writes, "The chiyuv al ha'am lishmo kol bracha." It's a chiyuv on everyone to hear the bracha. And if someone's cutting off and impatient for the people before them, when their job is not finished, so then that's going to cut it off. You're not going to hear what you're supposed to hear. And we have to be very careful not to rush it. Birchas Kohanim should not be rushed, and no one should be running in to each one of the other person's job, whether it's the Sheikh Tzibur, who's the Makri, whether it's the Kohanim, or the Tzibur is answering Amen. That is halacha number one. Then the Shulchan Aruch continues in Sif Chaf Gimel. B'shasha kohanim mevarachim ha'am lo'yabitu v'lo'yasichu da'atam elah yu'aneim kalpe mata. When you hear as the tzibur, the brach of the kohanim, you cannot have hesach hadas. Don't be thinking about other things. Rather, your eyes should be downwards k'mo sha'omid b'tfilah, as if you were in the practice of tefillah. Va'am yechavnu lebracha. Now that point, is it part of tefillah? That's has a nafka mina lahalacha in many areas. Is Birchas Kohanim separate from tefillah, or is it part of tefillah? That's not going to be our lumdish discussion right now, but we see the Shulchan Aruch is making a reference to that. The tzibur has kavana for the bracha. You have to face the kohanim, and also you shouldn't look at them. You shouldn't stare at them. There's a lot of pieces going on over here. The first one is that many people don't know is that it needs to be panim keneged panim. It's 100% incorrect to turn your back to the kohanim. We know that you're supposed not supposed to look. But sometimes they'll see around shul, people know I can't look at the Kohanim because, you know, my eyes will fall out like in Raiders of the Lost Ark. So I can't look at the Kohanim, and they'll turn their backs to the Kohanim. That's not correct. You have to be facing the Kohanim. So Rav Moshe writes in Igros Moshe Rechaim Chelek Gimel that even though there are, oh, sorry, let's read the Ramah, my apologies. The Gama Kohanim Lestakel B'Deim, Kohanim shouldn't look at their hands. Okay, Nagul Lushal Shal Atalas Apneim, they cover their face with the talus, V'Yedeim Chutz the talus. And their hands go outside the talus. But says the Ramah, V'yeshma koma shenagu shedem b'fnim in talus. And this is our minag, that the hands are inside the talus. Shel yistaklu ha'am b'hem, so the tzibor, the people don't see the hands of the Kohanim. So Moshe writes in Rechaim Chela Gimel, he says that even though there are those who say that this is a mitzvah for the Yisrael to be blessed by the Kohanim, that's the famous sheet of the Sefer Charedim, that the Mishnah Berurah begins at the very beginning of Hilchos Birchas Kohanim, that not only is it a mitzvah for the Kohanim to bless, but it's a mitzvah upon us to go and receive the blessing. It's obvious this doesn't include the bracha that the Kohanim recite for themselves, right? Obviously, you do not have to hear the bracha of Ashir Kedushan B'Kedushoso Shal Aaron. That's not ma'akir for you. Clearly, Yisrael is not part of Ashir Kedushanu B'Kedushoso Shal Aaron. We don't answer Baruch Baruch Shemo, says Rav Moshe, because that would confuse the Kohanim. So it's not proper, says Rav Moshe, to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo to the bracha of Asher Kedushan B'Kedushoso Shel Aaron of the Kohanim. The Mishnah Berurah here writes in Sifkat and Peites that the minhag is that we don't look at the hands of the Kohanim since it can distract us from focusing on the bracha. Certainly we shouldn't be looking around shul as well. Now, we're not going to discuss that sugya at this point. We've spoken about this in the past. The stringencies, the isser, is it usser to look at the hands of the Kohanim? Only, but it's clear is that only histaklus is what is usser. Only staring is a problem, because staring causes you to lose focus. And during the days of the Beis HaMikdash, staring could have harmed a person's vision. As the Gemara in Sotah says, the Shechinah is shora al yadayim, it rests on the hands of the Kohanim, and therefore looking at the hands of the Kohanim could have perhaps caused that a person's vision should be weakened. Nowadays, we don't stare because of that. Nobody should think that nowadays that by staring it will weaken your vision. That's not true. That's only bizman based on Migdash. Mikra din, it's mutter to look. The Mishnah Berurah says that it's proper minhag to not look. Zeichel Migdash. Shema yibana beis hamigdash. Perhaps the beis hamigdash will be rebuilt. And then we're not going to remember and we're going to look at the Kohanim's hands. But mikra din, it's mutter to look. So that's one thing. Again, I would tell you this. If you haven't been looking in the past, so keep your minug and don't look. But if you do look, so then nothing's going to happen to you. It's not, no negative effects. Exactly. Mikra din is fine. The Mishnah Berurah says, even though the talus is over the hands, the minug is not to look because Shema Yibana Beis HaMikdash. That's the Mishnah Berurah says. But you're right, 100%. There's no Isra at all to look at the hands of the Kohanim. Because they can't see us, so we can't see them. There's not going to be any distractions whatsoever. Rav Sternbach writes, there's a source over here. Rav Sternbach writes in Chuvas Hanagos Chelek Daled that he holds that later on. The Shar Knesset HaGadolah says that it's not mutter to learn Torah during Birchas Kohanim, and the Ber Hetev says that as well. No distractions, no parsha sheets, nothing like that. Only thinking about and concentrating on what the Kohanim are blessing us with. Next halacha, says the Shulchan Aruch in the next sif. Am she'acharei Kohanim, eina b'chlal bracha. Anyone who is standing behind the Kohanim are not including in the blessing. Ava melifneyam, those in front, ubitzideyam on the sides, afilu mechitza shel barzel, eina mafsekes l'achareim, even if there is a wall between you and the Kohanim, it cannot keep the bracha from getting to you. Im anusim, that as long as you are in anus, meaning you can't make it to shul. I want to come to shul, but I can't. Something happened. I can't make it into the sanctuary. Kagon am shibasados. What's am shibasados? The people had to go work early in the fields in the morning. They couldn't make it to shul. The Birchas Kohanim covered them and had them in mind because they were honest. They had no choice. Shem Turidim b'malachtam, they were involved in their work. Ve'nim Yechom Lavo, Heim Bechal Bracha, they are included in the Bracha. Ha'am Shebesados. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkat and Sadi Beis, Sadi Gimel, that even if you're not mamish behind the Kohanim, but rather behind them on the side of them, that's not included in the Bracha. And that's important. Because we'll just use our shul as an example. The Gemara says, Birchas Kohanim is panim keneged panim. And that means that you're potentially facing them. Now, in our shul, the duchen sticks out a little bit from the Aron Kodesh. So that would mean is that anybody who is in these front two rows over here, and these front two rows over there, so that is, even though on the sides, it's still also behind, because it's not by the panim. The Kohanim can't see you when they turn side to side. They have to move somewhere else. Ezra's Nashim as well, they'd have to move further back. These, I would say, these two seats, these two rows are probably problematic, but anything really, but anything outside of the two rows is really technically okay. This is what I was saying before. Sternbach says that there's a hider of panim keneged panim mamish, to go right in front of them, that these spots over here is prime real estate. I don't think that many people are makbid on that. You know, I would tell you this. If you have to move, then why not move to mamish right in front? But if there's no reason to move out of your seat that's over to the side over there on the right or the left or whatever it may be, to come stand mamish in the middle. But if you have to move because you have these front rows over here, then why not, you know, get a good real estate right up front? The Mishnah Berurah then continues in Sifkat and Sadihei, that if you're on the sides of the Kohanim, you're included in the Bracha, and certainly those on the sides, but before the Kohanim are not included. So, everybody before the Kohanim are included. In the Ber Halacha, he says that if you're on the sides of the Kohanim, but facing Mizrach, then it's not proper, because you should be facing the Kohanim, and therefore you should turn towards them. So he says, even let's say you're over here on the side, on the right, or there on the left, you're facing this way, and the Kohanim are facing this way, they're facing Ma'ariv over here, and you're facing Mizrach, you should try to turn towards them. So you have a little bit of face time with the Kohanim, and the Mishnah Berurah says, the Chafetz Chaim says, if you would be meeting a friend, and you were sitting across each other at the table, but not literally across from each other, you're sitting over on one side to the right, one sitting over to the left, and you just have the whole meeting facing like this. That's weird. That's an awkward thing to do. So panim keneged panim means you should be facing them. So if you're sitting on the right or the left of the shul, you should turn slightly towards the Kohanim so that it's panim keneged panim in some form. Don't face directly Mizrach. Rather, turn yourself in some way towards them.
We're all facing you.
Yeah. Ha'am Shebesados. It works for them. They have no choice. They can't do anything about it. It works. If you're in the shul, though, and you're available and you're able, you should be facing them in the best possible way. The Mishnah Berurah then continues that those who sit on the Mizrach of the Aron Kodesh sticks out. It's a problem, as we said. And the Bach would bemoan those people who in the fancy shuls in Prague would buy and pay for the Mizrach Wand, for the eastern walls. And there'd be so chash if I sit on the eastern wall of the shul, and then by Birchas Kohanim, they wouldn't move, because I can't move my very chash of seat. What a waste, he said. What a waste of a seat. It's a busy evid, because you're not going to be in the best possible place, and they wouldn't move for the bracha. The Chavetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha says that if you could come to shul, but you don't, the bracha doesn't cover you. Even if your house is across the street from shul, meaning, let's see, I don't know exact geography, but let's say theoretically, the shul faces the Steinhardt's house. I don't know if that's correct, but let's say the beam over here, the duchen, is directly, across from Dr. Steinhardt's house. I don't know. We can check on Google Maps. Technically, Let's go this way, right? So he says that, if somebody's in the Steinhardt's house, and they say, I could come to shul, but I don't want to, whatever. I'm not going to make it to shul today. It doesn't cover them. Even if they're mamish directly across from the Kohanim during Birchas Kohanim. Because a person who says, I could come, but I won't come, so that is not included in the heter of Am Shebesados, of the people out in the field. because they didn't want to come to shul. It's all about your desire to want to be blessed. If you want the bracha of the Kohanim, the bracha will be chal on you. But if you're not making the effort for the bracha of the Kohanim, then it's not going to work for you. Yeah, it would work for them. A mother and a child who can't come to shul, it's shal shagalim. The bracha works for them. They want to come to shul, but they can't. The bracha would cover them. You shouldn't walk in front of someone davening shmonas in order to get to your place with Birchas Kohanim. Instead, you should just stand where you are. And the Chafetz Chaim says in the Bir Halacha that if you're in shul and there's a davar tinuf, there's a, let's say, a child with a dirty diaper, and it's between you and the Kohanim, then it's a hefsek between you and the Kohanim for the bracha. But for Am Shebesados, people out in the fields who can't come to shul, it would not be a problem. So again, there's no reason a child with a dirty diaper should be in shul, but theoretically that would be a problem. Now, it would appear that Birchas Kohanim, as done in Eretz Yisrael, certainly here in America, is a Davar Shebekdusha. Now, what do we know about a Davar Shebekdusha? What do you have to do for a Davar Shebekdusha? Well, you need 10 people, but also you have to stand. Does the tzibur have to stand for Birchas Kohanim? So apparently we would say yes, because it's a Davar Shebekdusha. You need a minion for Birchas Kohanim. And as we pointed out before, what's a Davar Shebekdusha? Something you need a minion for. And what do you need a minion for? The Davar Shebekdusha. And the circular logic keeps on going. So the Chai Adam, right? The Sefer Charedim says in Dalet that the Tzibur should stand for Birchas Kohanim because they have a mitzvah to be blessed by the Kohanim. The Targum on Shir HaShirim says the same thing as well. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Hei, which seems to say that the Kahal stands for Birchas Kohanim. The Gemara there in Brachas says that if a person has a confusing dream, he should say the tefillah while standing during Birchas Kohanim. That's what the Gemara says, to stand during the bracha. However, the Zohar writes in this week's Parshin Parshas Naso that the tzibur should sit with yira and kavod during Birchas Kohanim. So the Magen Avraham says the tzibur can sit during Birchas Kohanim, but he still has to face the Kohanim. And Shuvas Yabi Omer Avad Yosef cites the Sefer Shem Chadash, who questions the source of the Magen Avraham, because there are many places in Shas where it says the word yeshiva, and yeshiva doesn't mean to sit, it means to wait or to delay with intent. And therefore, that's not a proof. The Mishnah Berurah argues with the Magen Avraham. He says the minhag is to stand for Birchas Kohanim. The Meiri and Soto also seems to say this as well as the Sefer Eshkol. And therefore, the proper thing to do is to stand for Birchas Kohanim. Next, Halach and Shulchan Aruch. Kuf Chav Ches Chav Vav. Says the Mechaber, during Birchas Kohanim, don't say any psukim, just be quiet and have kavanah for the bracha. Says the Ramah, nowadays the Kohanim sing these songs, nagu gam ken lomar psukim, we do say psukim, ach yoser tov shol amram, and better not to say them as well, says the Ramah himself. So what's going on over here? Psukim, no psukim, what are we talking about? So the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Kuf Beis explains, based on the Gemara Masechet Sota Daf Mem, that it's not proper for the Eved to not pay attention when the Adon is giving a bracha. Hashem is giving us a bracha by Birchas Kohanim. What are you mumbling psukim for? Pay attention to what the bracha is. Nevertheless, this was a machlokas in the Gemara. Yes, psukim derech Birchas Kohanim. No psukim. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not talking about Ribono Sha'olam by the dream. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is in the Art Scroll Siddur, those psukim they put on the sides. That is subject to the machlokas. So the Gemara has a machlokas. It's a machlokas Rishonim. The Magen Avraham and the Taz say that people who say the psukim should do so when the Shatz is calling out to the Kohanim, not when the Kohanim say the words, but when the Shiach Tzibor says Yivrachacha, that's when you say those psukim. The Eliyarabba rejects all of this. The Vilna Gaon rejects all these psukim. And the Mishnah Berurah says one should not recite the psukim in a way that others can hear you. And it's wrong for the tzibur to say the words of Birchas Kohanim themselves. Only the Makri and the Kohanim say Yivrecha Hashem. But we don't. Say, we should not be saying anything. So what do you have in the Art Scroll Siddur? You have those psukim in the tiny print next to the big words of Yivrecha Hashem Rishim Recha. I don't know why Art Scroll put it in. I would have, they didn't ask my opinion, I would have left it out. The Gra says not to say it, the Rabbi says not to say it, it's a huge machlokas. Like, why even start? It's a big problem. Again, Yesha my Lismoch, it's the machlokas in the Gemara and the Rishonim and the Taz and Magen Avraham, but better not to say them. Don't say the psukim, Just pay attention to the words and don't say those things. Nah, don't. Just pay attention to the words. Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha. There's enough depth in those 15 words. You know, it's enough to think about. There's enough to concentrate on about. You know, what to be contemplating about. Rav Hirsch writes in his Perush on the Torah. Rav Schwab writes in his book on Tefillah. The first brach we have kavana that Hashem should bless us with gashmius. The second brach we have kavana that Hashem should bless us with ruchnius. And the third bracha is that Hashem, that we ask Hashem that we should have kirvas Hashem, we should have a closeness to Hashem and a close relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's enough to think about. I think those who think are pretty good and meditate on those ideas. And that's what we should be contemplating. The Kirya Sefer writes in Hilchos Tefillin Perek Yudal in the Rambam that answering Amen after Birchas Kohanim is a din d'oraisa, a Torah level commandment to answer Amen to the three brachos. That's what he says. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. What? It's a svara. What's the svara? So Rav Moshe writes in Igros Moshe and Rachaim Chelik Beis that Amen, what does Amen mean? It's a Kabbalah, it's an acceptance to the bracha, right? It's a statement that what it says in the bracha, I am accepting to be correct. If you hold, like the Sefer Charedim, there's a mitzvah on the tzibur to be blessed by the Kohanim, and Amen is a statement of accepting that bracha, so says Rav Moshe, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to answer Amen, because that is a verbal fulfillment of the mitzvah of the Jewish people to be blessed by the Kohanim, to receive that blessing. That's what he argues. Now, if that's the case, that means the Amen of Birchas Kohanim is unlike any other Amen we have in Davening. It's different than an Amen for Shmoneh Esrei. It's different than by Birchas Kriyat Shema. It's a higher caliber of answering Amen because no other Amen is really a mitzvah d'oraisa like Birchas Kohanim. So let's give four examples where it comes up. Hopefully everybody's on time to shul and saying all the words and nobody's behind. But let's say a person is not with the tzibur during Birchas Kohanim. So what are we going to do? Moshe writes or Rechaim Chelek Dalet, if you're in the middle of Shema or Birchas Kriya Shema, you should answer Amen to Birchas Kohanim because Yisrael is chayiv to stop and come to the Kohanim to receive the bracha. Certainly you're chayiv to answer Amen as well. This is more important than answering Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba, says Rav Moshe, because it might be on the level of a D'oraisa. A person saying Shema shouldn't answer Amen to Asher Kedushan B'Kedushos Asher Aaron, but you should answer Amen to Birchas Kohanim if you're in the middle of Shema and Brachos, says Rav Moshe. And another in that same tshuva, he says, Pashut she'asur l'shum adam l'haskel espal shmon esrei k'shol yuchal l'gmur kodim gamkein. Nisiyas kapayim. You may not start shmon esrei if you know they're not going to be answering Amen to Birchas Kohanim. Wait. Rather, wait where you are in Birchas Kohanim, in Birchas Kriya Shema, answer Amen, and then continue afterwards. That Elkanah Gay was saying it was never the real thing. It's only it doesn't apply to that. Correct. Certainly, you can't answer Birchas Kohanim while saying your own Shmon Esrei Sosha Moshe. That's for sure. But better to wait on your Shmon Esrei, answer to a proper Birchas Kohanim to the three brachas of Amen, and then start your Shmon Esrei.
Yeah, so if you are saying that part of the Mitzvah and the Kohanim comes with, should you?
What do we do? Good, perfect. So what do you do if you're in the middle of Shmon Esrei and they're up to Birchas Kohanim? So this is a three-way machlokas aposkim. Rav Moshe writes in that shuvah in Chelek Dal and again in Chelek Hay that you must stop your Shmon Esrei and listen to the bracha. You just wait and pause and listen to the bracha. And this is the opinion of Rav Azar and the Shevet Halevi as well in Chelek Gimel. That's the shita Rav Moshe Feinstein. However, many, many svarim, including Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach in a number of places, write that you have reshus to stop and listen, but you don't have to. If you want to, it's okay, and it's not considered a hefsek in your Shmon Esrei, but you don't have to stop. And Rav Avraham Yosef and the Bia Omer Chelek Zayin, Chuvas Hanagos and Chuvas as well, Rav Sternbach says, you have reshus to stop and listen, but you don't have to. And then there's Rav Yashav. Rav Yashav and a number of Svarim says that you shouldn't stop because the person davening Shmon Esrei has the status of Ha'am Shebesados. That's what Rav Yashav says. You're an honest, you have no choice. So you can continue in Shmon Esrei and get all of the benefits of Birchas Kohanim without stopping. Because you're an honest, you have no choice. You have to continue going. So those are the three options. Oh, for sure. If you're coming late to shul, don't... also, it takes a lot of courage. You're coming late to shul to come daven in the front. That's a very courageous thing. So that those are the three options. My personal netiyah is towards Rav Moshe, to stop and to listen, and then continue. The Chazon Ish is quoted, and Rav Vosner is quoted in Shevet Levi, that if you're saying Shmoneh Esrei with the Chazon, let's say you're saying you were late to Shul, and you started Shmoneh Esrei with the Chazon's Chazaras HaShatz, you should pause and listen to Birchas Kohanim. The Rav Avram ben Arambam writes in one of his Shuvos that a person listening can also answer Amen if he's davening along with the Shliach Tzibur. You can answer Amen in the middle of your Shmoneh Esrei if you're listening along with the Shliach Tzibur. Rav Shlomo Zalman says the same thing as well, as is the Tzitz Eliezer. Okay. The Chayadim in the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Ayin Aleph say that nowadays where the Shliach Tzibur has a Siddur, he's allowed to answer Amen to the Bracha of the Kohanim, and this Amen is not a Hefsek in the Tefillah of the Shliach Tzibur. Okay. Next Halacha. Shulchan Aruch Kuf Lamed. Al, this is the last Halacha. Man dechaza chalma velo yada maichaz. A person has a dream, they don't know what to make of this dream. Nikum kame kahana b'shasha olam l'duchan v'nima hachi. The Kohanim are going to get up in the Duchan, and you're going to say, Ribbono Sholam, Ani Shalcha, V'chalamosi Shalach, and the whole long paragraph that's in the Siddurim. V'yachavin de l'sayim b'hadei kani adani av tzibur amen. And you should try to finish your tefillah when the tzibur is going to say amen to the Kohanim. V'ylo ne'lei mahachi. And if you can't say that, you should say, Adir b'marom shalchem b'gura atashom v'shim chashom, yirotzen shetasim aleinu shalom. Comes the Ramah. In a case where people don't go up to Duchen, Yomar Koza B'Shasha Sibur Omer Sim Shalom, you can actually say this during Sim Shalom if you have a dream, be signed, but again, we're not going to get into that for right now. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkat and Alf there in Kuf Lamed that in the countries where we don't say Berachas Kohanim except in the Shal Shagalim, the Minag is that the Tzibur says this Tefillah during Berachas Kohanim, even if you didn't have a dream the night before. Why? Because it's not possible that you did not have a dream between one regal to the next. You must have had something, right? I think we know, based on science nowadays, everybody dreams. You dream every single night. Everybody goes into REM cycle, and everybody dreams every night. It doesn't mean you remember it, but you dream every single night. And even if you dream and you remember it, you probably forget it an hour later. But we all have dreams. Some of them might shake us. Some of them might bother us. Someone had a dream. And therefore, the halach is you should say this tefillah by Birchas Kohanim. The Mishnah Berurah writes that some of the minhags to say this when the Kohanim are singing their niggun. However, it can never be said when the words are being said by the Kohanim, and that's what we do. We say the Ribbono Shel Olam when the Kohanim are singing the niggun before the end of each brach. The Be'er Halacha says, then Chutz La'aretz, the Tzibur says, Ribbono Shel Olam after the Shatz calls out the last word of each section of the bracha, either the Kohanim are quiet or they're singing like we said. And after the Tzibur finishes Ribbono Shel Olam, the Kohanim say the last word of each section. The reason for this is that afterwards, now you can pay attention and you can focus on the words of the Kohanim. The whole purpose of singing is that you can say the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why we don't sing on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, you can't make any tchinos, you can't make any personal requests for your dreams. And therefore, since you're not in the position to say that tefillah, therefore there's no reason to sing. That's why. Some question the minhag because perhaps maybe it's a hefsek to sing, but nevertheless, the minhag that we do sing, and the singing is really an introduction to saying the words of the bracha. It's not so clear. Let's say you have a kohen who doesn't like to sing. Let's say you have a kohen who doesn't like to sing. Sometimes we'll have like a kohen who's only there by himself. You have like a light minyan on yantif, and there's only one kohen up there. And he's totally embarrassed to sing. He doesn't want to sing. So what are the options? So one option is, well, just grow up and sing and deal with it. The other option is technically just be quiet. Count to, 15, whatever it is. Everybody says their Ribbono Shel Olam, and he continues. It's not so pashut, says the Chafetz Chaim, whether that might be a hefsek if nobody's singing, because you're not connecting the brachos. And the singing is a connection between the different words of the brachos. But standing there doing nothing, says the Chafetz Chaim, that's an awkward pause. Okay, so what's happened here before is I'll sometimes help the guy out. I'll sing with the guy to help him out so he doesn't feel alone, and give people a chance to say to help him out in a difficult situation. The Chofetz Chaim continues in Sifkas and Kufayin and Gimel, and he says that the Sheikh Sibra may not say the Ribono Sha'olam. The Chazan may not say that tefillah, since that would be a hefsek in his davening. He has no rishus to say it. Even if the Sheikh Sibra is a Kohen, and someone else is the Makri, in such a situation, the Makri may not say the tefillah, because that would distract him from his job. For the last part of the bracha, after the Makri calls out the word Shalom, though, in the third bracha, then he's allowed to. Why? Because his job is over. Once the Makri says Shalom and the last bracha, then he's good to go. He's fine. Now, that will never work for if the Shliach Tzibur is the Makri. But in that rare case, we don't really do so much in Chutz La'aretz. I don't think I've ever davened in Chutz La'aretz where the Baal Musaf was also a Kohen. I can't recall ever. In Providence. Okay, so I have not been zochet to go to Providence for Rosh Yom Kippur. But in the Eretz Yisrael, it's much more common. But in Chutz La'aretz, I don't really see it that much. In that case, the Chazan can never say Ribono Shel Olam, because that's going to be not okay. No, so in that case, is everybody has to. So everybody moves back behind. What he does is the Chazan goes up on his feet. The Gemara says in Brachos, so the Chazan has to be Oker Raglav. He has to lift up his feet by the Brach of Ritzei to go up to the Duchim. So what he does is the Chazan goes up on his feet to show that he's like, you know, or like shuffles his feet to show that he's like on his way in some form. When Yanta falls on Shabbos, as we said, there's no recitation of Ribono Shel Olam since we don't say Techinos on Shabbos. The Mishabura says if you had a very bad dream the night before, you can say them. You can say it at some point in davening. It's not clear where he wants you to say them, because you can't say them during Birchas Kohanim, but if you had a very bad dream on a Yantiv Shechalios B'Shabbos, you are allowed to say the tefillah if you're very concerned about it. If you finish the Ribono Shel Olam and the Kohanim have not finished singing, you have extra time, which is amazing, because I don't understand how anybody says the whole thing in the amount of time the Kohanim sing it. So you have time to say it. You can say Adir B'Marom if you want extra things as well. So when the Kohanim say Shalom, the Tzibur says Amen, the Amen will be effective to your tefillah as well. But again, most people just say Adir B'Marom after the Chazan begins Sim Shalom. So those are the overviews for the Tzibur. There's not that much, but there's certainly enough to contemplate. Yeah.
So you start off by talking
about yeah.
And all this, you know, the Hatov Shalom and the thing at the end.
Yeah.
That is very much Hesed Hadas before the last word. Wouldn't it be if the Kohanim said Yishma Recha and Shalom, and then they sing?
You mean after the Bracha?
Yeah.
Because we want the Amen, we want the Amen of the Tzibur to Birchas Kohanim to also be connected to the Amen in our personal tefillos. We're trying to.
It's a real Hesed Hadas. It's a major.
I think the Hesed Hadas is only while the words are being said. The Hesed Hadas is only while the Kohanim are saying the actual words of Birchas Kohanim. When they're saying Vishmech, you should think that Hashem should protect me and not take away, you know, my parnasa. When the Kohanim, when he's saying Yerushem Panav Elecha, the Hashem, you know, should give me a close relationship to them. Whatever your Kohanim are, is when saying those words. The whole point of the singing is to kind of give a permissible break, so to speak, to give a place where you can ask for those other things. No, he shouldn't. And he's a Yisrael? Yeah, he only is Makri. He cannot say the Ribono Shel Olam. Because that's a hefsek. That's a hefsek in his Chazar Sashas.
Okay. So he just saying the blessing and the
Amen. He just listens. No, we don't say it. It's only the Kohanim. Only the Kohanim, correct. Yeah.
Such a holy blessing. So what do we do every
day? Ah, okay. So that is the question. That is the question that has no good answer. We've spoken about this. We've spoken about this in the past. I assume on a previous Parshas Nasa we spoke about this. The answer is that we don't have a good reason. You know, when you have a question, you have 10 answers for it. It means that the answer is we don't know why, but we just do. The Rama says, you know, because we're a Tarud and people go to work and they're in a Russian Chutz La'aretz and Abba Simcha. But Svardim apparently are very comfortable and do not have any financial concerns. I'm not sure it is. There's no good reason. The Vilna Gaon tried to restart it. Chaim Voloshin tried to start it. And each time they did, there was like some catastrophe that happened. You know. Yeah. So something happens. So yeah, I don't know. We don't have a good reason. No.